All right, let's talk about, obviously, the thing that everybody is talking about this morning, and that is that that Paul Ryan has rolled out a plan that basically would cut $4 trillion, which none of us can comprehend. But the whole idea that it's going to cut spending over the next decade, give us your view on his plan.
Well, I was really excited to be part of the construction of the Budget Committee's plan that we rolled out yesterday. If we look at this, it starts at the top line of the government with a revenue line, and it reforms our tax system, not only for individuals but also for corporations. And we're going to go from being one of the least competitive countries in the world to being one of the most competitive countries when it comes to tax policy. And if you look at the way Heritage has scored this, we're going to produce millions more jobs under the Budget Committee's proposed budget than we would have under the president's budget. And then you go down below that. It takes discretionary spending. It rolls it back to 2006 levels, again, before we had the pre-stimulus, pre-TARP, pre-Obama days, and it freezes it for 5 years. And then we go and we touch all the third rails on the mandatory spending side. We touch Medicare. We fix it and make it solvent, not only for people that are at or near retirement today, but also for future generations. We do this, we take Medicaid, we block grant it to the states, and look, the governor of Texas and the lieutenant governor have been up here, as well as many other governors across the country, said, if you're going to give us a mandate, give us the funding, or if you do one or the other, give us a mandate and the funding, or just give us the money and get out of the way and reduce the amount of money you give us. And what we're doing is we're reducing the amount of money, giving us a block grant, and saying, okay, Texas, you deal with it the way you see fit, because I guarantee you there's a world of difference between the way Texas needs to use Medicaid versus the way Massachusetts needs to use Medicaid.
And we need to say up front that this would be for people, if you're 55 and older, it does not affect you. You'd be younger than that. But here's my problem down the road, Bill, is that the price of health care is going to continue to go up. And as I understand it, this will be a plan where basically individuals will receive vouchers to go out and buy their own insurance. Now, that puts them out in a market that they may not be educated in, number one. Number two, they could be a victim to higher premiums down the road as their income goes down. I mean, it looks like relief right now, but where are we going to be 10 years from now with this plan?
Well, actually, let me correct one of the things you said, Scott, because it's not a voucher plan.
Okay.
We're essentially taking the Medicare plan and making it the same as the federal federal employee health plan that I have today. What happens is there is a certain amount of money that is allocated toward me, excuse me, and then I pick from a menu of different insurance plans and options, and then the government sends the check to the plan to provide the coverage for me, and it actually works out pretty well. If you look at Medicare Part D, the drug program that was started a few years ago, that plan has come in about 40% below budget, and it is a fairly similar program to what we're talking about here. It basically says that the user gets to pick the program they want, and the government will provide the premium support for that plan. What I think we'll see is by moving away from the fee-for-service plan that Medicare is today, we're going to have a much slower rate of growth in medical cost, and plus the consumer of the patient, if you will, winds up with the program that they want at a much less cost, lower cost to the taxpayer.
My problem still is, though, you can't guarantee that there won't be a gap 10, 15 years down the road and people will fall through into that gap because their insurance will not cover all the costs. Albeit that medical costs might not go up as fast, there still could be a gap there.
Well, there's a gap today. I mean, for instance, when I was last employed, my insurance plan didn't cover everything that came up. And a safety net needs to be a safety net, but it doesn't need to be something that covers every conceivable issue that's going to come up for every conceivable person. Again, I have no problem with the government providing a safety net, but somewhere down the road, the consumer or the user has got to be partially responsible for the costs that they incur.
Finally, at the end of the day, are we going to shut down or is there going to be another CR that'll pass?
I hope that we don't shut down. We as Republicans put together another short-term CR, which does two things. It does several things, but the two big things it does, it takes the Defense Department off the table and funds the Defense Department through the end of the year, and that it also cuts $12 billion for a one-week extension of the funding for the government. I hope that the Senate will act upon that. I hope the president will sign it, because I'd sure like to avoid having a shutdown. And got to remember, everything the Republicans in the House has done has been designed to keep the government open, not to shut it down. The only people that you see driving us toward a shutdown are the president and Senate Leader Harry Reid.